Seats.
Hi, Denise. Welcome.
Hi, I'm good
to see you again.
And don't
people logging in.
All right, I'll call the meeting to order, and we will start out with the roll call. If you are here, please check in. If you have not already, I'm on the computer. Okay, we have 31 people present. That is a quorum. Let's continue with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand for that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first on the agenda tonight we have Grace Jones, who is going to give us her annual Cooley Cap report. So please give her your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good evening.
Oops.
Thank you. Okay, that should be better. So thank you for a few minutes of your time. I believe in your packet there was an annual report, which we're very proud of. I think it's actually interesting this year and would invite you to take a look at that. There's also a one-page insert on our activities in La Crosse County and gives a pretty good summary of the very specific programs that we ran in the county in 2007. I'll summarize that briefly because there are a few new things I want to talk about in the few minutes I have. But basically, about 355 families in La Crosse County were served in a variety of housing programs: home weatherization, housing rehab, apartments, assistance to homeless families. We also helped 37 people assess whether they should start a business and did help with the creation of one actual business. We helped 34 people go back to school. These were working people who needed to get more education to get a better job and make more money to support their families, and had 34 people in what's called the Skills Enhancement Program. We also worked with 61 La Crosse County youth that are both either in school or out of school, trying to help them improve their employability, find employment, and additional education too. In the food area, as a result of food resources that we get and then subcontract to Salvation Army and Wafer, 6,612 different people received emergency food. We employ 10 residents of La Crosse, raise about $2.5 million or so in the county. Our board members are Ann Fisher and Jill Billings, do a great job on the Cooley Cap board. I just want to mention a couple new things. First, last year's August floods were absolutely terrible, and part of the money that we were able to help bring into the area served La Crosse County, and we've been handling those funds on behalf of La Crosse County and helping with housing rehab. Second new program we have is a car program, and it was just on the front page of the Tribune. It's our Work in Wheels. We have $4,500 no interest loans, 3-year payback period for income eligible people who need a car to get to work and school. Third new program, SOAR program, S-O-A-R, but basically it's modeled after, it's replicating a program from another area of the state, and will be helping people get their SSI and SSDI much more quickly and successfully than currently happens for people, and we're really happy to be replicating that. Next, we're creating a Cooley Community Land Trust. We're very excited about a new housing activity. This will allow us to develop housing that's affordable, and we'll be able to keep it affordable basically forever. And I could talk more about that now or at another time, but we're very excited about creating the Cooley Community Land Trust. And then last, I'm serving on the new Poverty Council that the county board created, and working with Jerry Huber on that, and Jill Billings is on that as well. And we're implementing the Vision 2020 initiative, which is we're trying to end childhood poverty in our community. We're pretty concerned. In the four counties that Cooley CAP serves, there are 8,300 children living under the poverty line. We've seen the childhood poverty rate in La Crosse County jump to 17% of children, or about 4,032 children. So the Poverty Council is focused on that issue, and we want to try and make a difference. So there's your Whirlwind Cooley CAP report. I'd be glad to try and answer any questions.
Well, that was a quick one. Jeff Schrader.
Thanks. You said that the poverty for these children jumped 17%. Over how long a period of time is that?
Jumped to 17%.
To 17%.
And we're concerned about the leap. Now, with the census data, there's always a little bit of play. And so, you know, it's as accurate as they can get it. But I believe it went from either 12 or 14 to 17 between... Was it 2005 to 2007, something like that?
In a two-year period.
I think I'm getting that wrong, but Jill, do you remember?
Jerry knows too. From 2000 to 2000, the one that startles me is from 2000 to 2008. It's almost doubled to over 17%.
Okay, my other question was, how has the recent floods affected your program?
Well, certainly it's devastated Vernon County and Crawford County. And you're probably following in the paper how Chaseburg may actually try to move the town like Soldiers Grove did many years ago in the late 70s. Gaze Mills. They're all in trouble from all this water. But Gaze Mills is looking at actually moving the town, which is a great idea, and we've been talking to people at the state about they also think that's a great idea because to just keep pouring money into those communities and then to have the rain keep pouring in makes no sense for the taxpayer, basically, and really for those families and businesses. So we're at the point now where the money we got for the August floods served 51 families. All that money is committed. Now we're going back to the state and saying, you know, help. FEMA covers some, home insurance covers some, but, you know, certainly families end up really short. And so we just work and work and work to try and get money allocated to the area.
And this is, your area is La Crosse County and Vernon County?
We cover La Crosse, Monroe, Vernon, and Crawford. And we, one more piece of information. We were awarded $1 million before to handle the August floods. We had another $500,000 in requests that we couldn't cover from August. And then from our assessment of calls and kind of anecdotal contacts we've had already, the housing rehab would be at least $1.5 million this time around. So there's kind of a shortfall from before and then this recent disaster, and it's just crazy. And then even my staff and myself, we've been flooded, so it's really pretty stressful.
Thank you. I was just down through the Kickapoo, and all you saw were dumpsters out there with people hauling stuff out. It's a pretty sad situation.
Disastrous.
Dandina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chaseburg may be moving too, because the lower Chaseburg got flooded pretty badly. The restaurant and tavern are back in business, but some of the other businesses down there are not going back. So you may have some problems there. Well, I do realize that La Crosse County is not a very rich county, because I think we got the guy who put the statistics together sitting right in front of me. A few years ago, our poverty rate was about 7%, and now we're up to 11% in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Are these poverty people moving in, or are we losing jobs so fast that we can't stay current? Or you analyze all in each and every one of these families. What is the problem here?
Mm-hmm. For the city of La Crosse, for decades, the poverty rate for the city of La Crosse has been second only to Milwaukee in the 12 largest cities in the state of Wisconsin. So that's been pretty constant. And it's a combination of elderly, fixed income, children, low wages. I think there are new people moving to the community that are in poverty, but you know, think about how the Hmong people moved to the community, and they were all in poverty at first, and then they've worked their way out of poverty, very much so. So there's a lot of factors at play, and this is one thing the Poverty Council is spending time on initially. We're trying to figure out this data and what is happening, and especially with those youth poverty statistics, and we're kind of in the middle of trying to sort that out because it's startling, and nobody has that one clear answer for what happened.
Other questions? All right. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you very much.
Very informative, as always. All right. The chair's report, I have a few things here to talk about. The first one, supervisor's attendance at meetings. Hate to talk about this, but we've had some problems in the last, especially the last month, but in the last couple months, where we've, at least on one occasion, maybe more, had difficulty making a quorum because people weren't showing up for your committee meetings. And we've also had occasionally in the past some problems with attendance at the policy planning meetings. It's really important that you get to your meetings. So I'd certainly encourage you to be there. If you cannot be there, please at least call. And the best place to call is to talk to Cheryl in the chair's office. And in our ordinance, if we're not going to have a quorum, I have the authority to appoint a fill-in person. So if I knew we were going to be one person short, I'd call around and I'd get somebody there so that we can actually have our committee meetings. But if we don't know ahead of time that people aren't going to show up, we really can't do that. So please make every effort to be there. But if you cannot, then call Cheryl, and if it looks like we're going to have a problem, she will contact me, round me up, and we'll make sure that we got that covered. So hopefully that'll take care of it. Next item, County Board Picnic, July 17th. we did last year, we've got our two experts, Arlene Benrood and Jerry Sobranek, in charge of putting that together. Those who attended last year will recall that the Moose Lodge took care of the food, and we heard rave reviews. People really enjoyed the food, and there was plenty of it. Your desk, you have the green sheet with the rest of the information. We need to do two things in that regard. One is I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet to see if you expect that you'll be there and if your spouse or significant other also will be attending with you, just so we have a general idea of what kind of numbers to plan for. Second thing is we need to set the time of it. Last year we moved the time of the county board meeting from 6 o'clock to 9 in the morning, met throughout the morning, broke at the end of the morning when we were finished with the agenda, and had a lunch type of picnic. But to do that, we need to take a vote today to formally change that. So I'm going to ask Jerry to handle that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And looking back over the years when we had morning meetings, I guess the key word for this county board picnic is tradition. We've always had the morning meeting, and after that it would be adjourned to the county board picnic. And that would be supervisors, past supervisors, department heads and past supervisors, and their significant others. And I would move that tradition continue like it has in the past since 2002 when we went to the evening meetings. And at one meeting a year, we moved to hold in the morning so we can maintain this tradition. So if you like, Mr. Chair, I'd move that the July meeting be moved to the morning time.
9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Moved by Jerry Sobranek, second by Arlene Benner. Discussion on that proposal? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no is Tara Johnson. That carries. We will see you at 9 o'clock on July 17th. I'm going to pass around. Ray, could you grab this? Pass this around. It'll be at Neshonic again this year. We want to keep you busy. So hopefully you can make it. If you're unsure, just put a question mark. So just that we have a general idea. Normally we've finished up 11:30 and so mealtime being right about noon, so if you want need to plan your day, that's what you could look for. All righty, that takes care of that part. Supervisors conference reports. Anybody have any? Jeff Schrader's got one.
Before I do that, can I make a couple of announcements?
Certainly.
First of all, it's Island Days. They start tomorrow. And they're being led off by the fabulous Bologna Skins. They're a great group. I know the name sounds kind of funny, but they start at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And at 5:30 in the afternoon, the local dignitaries would be Vicki Burke and myself and anybody else that wants to show up and be introduced are going to be introduced. And also, it's my birthday, so.
Well, there you go. You got to be there.
Then also the following week, S&S Cycles' birthday starts in La Crosse. And it's going to be a big deal, so if anybody can go to that and participate, go see what's going on, look on their website, and there's a lot of interesting things going on there.
Thank you for those. I think we can probably dispense with singing happy birthday. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, Jerry Sobranek.
Happy birthday, Jeff. You don't look 70.
I thought he was 65.
Monday's comprehensive planning meeting, I handed out reports on the public intoxication. I represent La Crosse County on the City of La Crosse's Alcohol Oversight Committee. If you remember to bring these with you, the vertical one is a lot of in-depth information, and the other one, the horizontal one, a report on public intoxication ordinance 7.02 parent S. There's some really interesting figures in here. This report was done on March 18, 2000, December 31st, 2007. There were 156 warnings issued. 78 offenders complied with the conditions in the ordinance and successfully completed the alcohol education class. Of these, only one has reoffended. 89 citations were issued. 25 of the 89 citations, which is 28%, were issued to 12 offenders. And also by the numbers, the average age, this one really surprised me, the average age of all offenders was 36 years old. The average age of first offenders, also surprised me, was 33 years old. The median age of first offenders is 28.5. 72% of warnings issued to offenders over the age of 25. OWIRS were down 10%. Public intoxication enforcement accounted for less than 1%. Enforcement action taken between March 18th and December 31st. Public intoxication warnings issued by age. These also surprised me. 43% of the public intoxication warnings issued were people between the age of 21 and 24. 48% were between the ages of 25 and 34%. 32% were ages 35 to 44. 26% were ages 45 to 54. Ages 55 to 64 were 6%. And this is the one category that I fall into, 65 plus, because I'm on Social Security, I can't afford that much alcohol.
So you're not that one. You're not that one who shows up on the chart.
Was that you?
That's not you.
Okay. There's also public intoxication warning. It shows you what the citation looks like and everything that's spelled out in height and weight and testing and that. And there's probable cause statement for standard field sobriety tests. And they go by standard sobriety field tests. They look for clues, walk and turn are clues, one-leg stand, they look for clues, and behavior and observance. And then there's many, many organizations that are involved in this. There's Public Intoxication Ordinance, there's the Alcohol Task Force. We have legislation, liquor license, compliance checks. The ACE team, which focuses on enforcement, the Safe Ride, the U-Pass, Operation Riverwatch, peer intervention, and it goes on and on and on. And now we have a new one forming. It's going to be, I believe the city, Samantha could probably correct me if I'm wrong on this. She was at our meeting yesterday. But the city is looking for people to join a corporation type counseling service. They're looking for people, and it's gotten to the point where now that this is what it's come to, and it's just another organization. And if people would like to serve on that, Dorothy Leonard would be a good one to get a hold of on the city. And that's pretty much my report, Mr. Chair. And anybody has any questions, that I'll try to answer them.
Jerry, this is very interesting. Thank you for sharing this with us. A lot of information on here that kind of caught me by surprise. In particular, I would have expected all these ages to be younger. So
I did too.
See that, you know, despite what we've been hearing in the news, to see that, you know, people that are, you know, middle age are engaged in this a lot. And then the average BAC of the offender is 0.23, which is almost three times the legal limit to drive, is another one that I think is kind of stunning. So thanks for the information. Anybody have any questions or comments on this? Okay. Jerry, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Leon Paff, I saw your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got both an announcement. First, the announcement is that June Dairy Day's breakfast is out at John and Barb Schaller Farm in rural Onalaska out here, Bryce's Prairie, this Saturday.
Starting at what time?
6 to 11.
Okay.
So you're going to have to get up before noon. Also, La Crosse County.
You weren't directing that to me, I hope.
No. La Crosse County Dairy Promotion's got some cheesy crackers out there for you. For you to chew on later.
We want to thank those people. They do that for us every year, and we appreciate that. So if you haven't had a chance, try to sneak out there and grab some.
And then I have a report from the Summer Highway Conference that was held in Wisconsin Dells here, June 9th, 10th, and 11th. And I attended 2 days of it. And, Jeffrey will follow up somewhat on it. He attended other meetings, and it was a lot of breakout sessions. But two other things, one of the things that really hit me hard was the federal government is got 40% of the budget for the gas tax in Wisconsin. And if we continue at the rate we're going, the projections are that, well, you know the way everything has went now, and now fuel is, we're using the same amount, but the tax rate is the same as it was, so we're not increasing the dollar value, and the dollar value for building roads has just been astronomical lately, because we all know, because fuel takes fuel, or oil to build roads. But anyway, there, what the gist of the story is if we don't have a 5 to 8 cent gas tax increase, in the next year or within the next 5 years, and then indexing after that, which we fell away from indexing 3 years ago, which the association was dead against. Indexing means that we keep up with the price of inflation and things. Well, the legislature changed that, which they feel was a mistake. But anyway, we are going to be... Well, we want begin to be able to do our maintenance, not even half of the maintenance of the upkeep of the roads. And that is a sad situation for the affluent society that we actually live in, one fellow got up and his comment was that if we continue at where we're at within 20 years, he said, I don't think jokingly, really, he didn't say it jokingly, we'd be almost back to dirt roads. I don't know if it's that bad, but... There is money that needs to be done there, but what is going to be done, I don't know at this point, and they didn't have the answers either. But that's something to be of high concern about. And there's other parts of the convention. It was a very good convention, but Jeff will have something to say about it.
Great, thank you, Arlene Benrod. I saw your hand up too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I attended two meetings Monday morning at the Dells, and I left the Dells at 2 o'clock to attend Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. I didn't want to miss my first meeting. And I got a nice welcome back from Mr. Spiker. And I'd like to thank Andrea for giving up this committee for me. It was very much appreciated and means a lot to me, as I've worked very hard for 14 years on this committee. I stayed for the planning meeting as it pertained to solid waste. I left at 9, returned to the Dells. The conference was very well attended, many interesting and informative meetings. There was a video from Columbia County that showed Lake Delton, Tommy Bartlett, and the house. And they had us watching it, and we're looking at this house hanging off the hill. They said, keep looking to your left, keep looking to your left. 3 to 5 minutes, a house went by us on the water. And they said, keep looking, keep looking. A couple minutes later, the garage fell off the house. They gave us, the chairman of the county, Columbia County, gave us a name tag and had called and said that we're sending some people from the state and committee to go out and assess it. So we did go to Tommy Bartlett, completely dry. It was just very, very, very sad and devastating. So last but not least, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Doyle, for appointing me on the county board. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I thought we were done with you, Mr. Schrader. Are you back? What you got for us this time?
No, I just want to follow up on what Mr. Paff was talking about, and I believe that the presentation that he was talking about was by Craig Thompson, who is now the Transportation Development Association Executive Director. And some of the points that were made is that Wisconsin is second highest in the nation in gas tax, 32nd in the nation in overall transportation-related taxes. These are factors that are figuring into what Mr. Paff was talking about. The gas tax index was repealed in 2006, and the Road to the Future Committee has identified that now we are $700 million shortfall in our transportation budget in 2006. The Fiscal Bureau now estimates the shortfall at $1 billion. We have an over-reliance on gas tax, and also the state is being looked on by the federal government as violating the public trust, because a lot of the money that they transfer to the state transportation fund is being used in the general fund, the state of Wisconsin. Also, I attended the steering committee with the WCHA and the WCA, and the topics of discussion there were the budget repair bill. Work zone safety, they're now exploring the possibility of videoing and writing citations for the violations rather than having an officer sit out there. They're just going to be videotaping people and writing tickets. They'll get it in the mail. They're discussing it. They're bringing forth legislation to amend the law to forbid the use of funds or transfer of funds from the transportation budget to the general fund. And also we're working with the counties are working with the DNR and NR40, that's the transportation of invasive species. They're figuring out ways that they're getting into the lakes. There's so many means of transportation they can't cover them all, and that it's going to be a big education process to the public. Also, the motivational speaker for the conference was Tom Thibodeau from The Terrible. And if anyone ever has a chance to listen to him speak, I would highly recommend it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schrader. Mr. Sobranek.
A question for Jeff. When they videotape you and they send you a fine, can you videotape a check back to them?
Only if you want to go to jail. Is that it for reports? Okay, thank you, everyone. Those were very informative. Next up is WCA conference. Again, a reminder, it's October 12th, 13th, and 14th in the Dells. If you're interested in going, please try to sign up as soon as possible. I think the deadline is coming up in a month or so. But they're also starting to book up all the rooms, too, so try to decide sooner rather than later. Next, sign-up sheets for a day in the life. Jill Billings, are those going around, or where are those? Where do people sign up for that?
The sign-up sheets are out in the outer area. Doug Mormon is holding them up as I speak. This is a great opportunity for those who have been here for a while. You've heard this before, but for new members, this is an opportunity to shadow a worker in the health or human service or the human services department or health department, or possibly tour a facility. It's a great experience to. I think you can't really fully understand what's happening unless you see what the employees are doing in the trenches, and this is your opportunity. It's been one of my best experiences on county board to take part in this. At the end of the day, we invite our state legislators too, and at the end of the day, we meet and discuss what we've seen. And the media's invited too, and I invite you all.
Okay, I'd encourage people to do that. Very informative. Next, cards and correspondence are no longer in the back of the room. They're now over on the side of the room if you want to take a look at those. And finally, I don't think there are any committee meetings during recess. Am I correct in that regard? Okay, there are none. So, Tara Johnson, if you could take the chair.
Mr. Chairman.
I have, it looks like, about nine appointments to propose to the board. Some of them are my appointments, some of them are Mr. O'Malley's, and the Ethics Board appointments are actually appointments of the Executive Committee as opposed to an individual making those appointments. So I would ask for approval of those.
Is there a second? Second by Supervisor Brockmiller. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Doyle.
Thank you. Consent agenda. Move for approval by Mr. Plesch, second by Mr. Sobranek. Any questions or comments on the consent agenda? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next, Planning Resources and Development Committee. This is Mr. Meyer, actually, not Mr. Rauch. So, Don Meyer.
Thank you for that correction. The first one we have is item 13/6. Petition number 1777 filed by N. Allen Pozar on behalf of Across Queen LLC to rezone from Residential District C to Commercial District B in the town of Campbell. Mr. Chairman, I'd like a second. I move for its approval and like to put on the floor. I'll need a second for that, and then I'd like to retain the floor.
Moved by Mr. Meyer, second by Mr. Schrader. And actually, Don, before you talk, I would like Mr. Blesky to come forward. There's one particular matter on this one that we've kind of alluded to in the past having to do with protest petition.
That's exactly what I was going to ask him to do. You're reading my mind again.
Well, you're way ahead of us then, Don.
All right, I make a move that Mr. Blesky come to the podium.
Jeff, could you explain to the board what a protest petition is and how that relates to this matter tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On, let me get the protest petitions in my hand here. If the board remembers your first, some of the new members at your April meeting, this petition was referred back to the committee, and the petition was actually amended. There was a protest petition filed at that time, but after that, several names had been taken off. And the petition was amended. So actually, we did not have a protest petition at that time, and the petition was reduced from three lots to the existing one lot. After our committee meeting on June 2nd, I believe it was, another protest petition was filed. And we have 69% of the adjacent property owners have signed in on that. And that requires this board then, when you finally act on this, to pass this by a three-quarter vote of those present and voting in order to pass it rather than by a simple majority of the county board members present. So,
Jeff, could you explain? It's not just the people that live there. It's the linear feet on their property compared to the...
Certainly. Can I use the screen? You want to switch it to video? Whenever a protest petition comes in, hopefully we can see this one. Zoom up.
Jerry, could you help him?
Yeah, Jeremy, thank you for that. The parcel in yellow was the parcel subject to the rezoning, and what I have done is added up the total perimeter of the subject parcel, and the total perimeter is like 521 some feet. In order to get over 50% of those that are adjacent within 300 feet, you have to go across the street, you have to pick up the people that are across the street in some cases, the people to the north, to the south, and to the west is Skipper Liner. But in this case, you have to jump beyond that and pick up... There's actually three property owners. My little thing here. Those people are also included. So what has happened... this party has signed. This party has signed the protest petition, as well as these three parties over here have signed, and those are representing everything that I'm showing in purple there, except this little strip right here. The people across the street here didn't sign, and that everything in purple there represents 69% of the adjacent perimeter properties. So I guess with that, if you have any questions, certainly be able to answer that a little bit further.
I did just ask Bill Shepard a question for verification. When Jeff refers to requires a three-quarter vote of those who are present and voting, for purposes of that calculation, if you would abstain, you are considered to be voting. So that is the equivalent of a no vote. So people understand. There's no taking powders here on this kind of an issue. If you abstain, that would be considered a no vote. So I'm not saying which way you should do it, just so that people understand the significance of their vote one way or another. And, Mr. Meyer, you still have the floor.
Well, how many here tonight? How many here?
32
right now. Okay, so we need 24.
Okay.
Anyone else have any more questions of Jeff?
Terry Johnson.
I just want to make sure we're clear for the record. The other parcel that we can just barely see now that's yellow with the purple is from the original petition a couple months ago. The only thing before us tonight is the northernmost parcel.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yeah. The other two parcels that are on the left-hand side there were the two parcels that were subtracted from the original petition and are not part of this tonight.
Okay. Everybody clear on that? It's just the one parcel, the upper right, the yellow. Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on the yellow piece we are looking at, there is a home on that piece, or, excuse me, where, but the part that, okay, the part that the home is on is not going to be rezoned. It's just that strip I see. Is that correct?
That's correct. The parcel that I've got outlined in black is the parcel subject to the rezoning report tonight. The house is actually going to stay on this parcel, and that is this structure right here. The garage right here, I believe, has been removed. And this strip right here is all that we're really talking about for parking. The parcel below this is zoned industrial.
And that's the driveway.
This is the driveway right here, the existing driveway. That's always been there. This is going to be opened up. This is zoned industrial, and that does show up on your map that you have your petitions for. And this parcel over here, where the boats are stored and have been for some time, is also zoned residential district C, the same as this parcel. But these are not subject to the rezoning because this used to be a dredging company right here. And they existed prior to the zoning ordinance. So the commercial use is extended until the residential District C zoning district is actually kicked into place, and that's never happened. So the parking over here is grandfathered in.
Okay, so, okay. And right now, the there is gravel, or there's loose dirt, or there's lawn, or what is the surface of the piece right now that we're?
Well, there was a fence that was right here. I believe that's been taken out. Last time I was out there, a section right about here was taken out. But the driveway that went all the way to the back here, you can kind of see the driveway portion right here. I think that's a U-Haul truck or something back there. But I haven't been out to the site to see if there's gravel put in here yet or not. But the gravel could be put in there even if this was residential. If they wanted to take their driveway all the way up to their property line, they could do that.
Okay. And do we know what entrance they are going to use? Are they going to just keep on the Marina Drive or use the little driveway, or isn't that really up to us?
This sketch right here was turned in at our public hearing, shows the existing drive down here along with the, I think there's, I've got it noted here, 17 parking spaces that are going to be created. The driveway that's going to be placed just about on the property line is going to be moved from right about here down to here. That can happen. The driveway can happen because this parcel down here is zoned industrial already. They can do anything they want down here. So what they're doing is taking something that had one row of parking in here already and just making it two rows, and then expanding the parking that they already had here, where the boats were, into additional vehicle parking spaces. So this is the only area that we're really talking about right here.
Okay. And so are we only making a change on the places that are going to be parking
in the yellow
lots, not the part in the yellow that has the house?
That's correct. Okay. You're changing the zoning on the whole piece, but this is the only part that they're going to use.
Okay.
And you can have residential in the commercial district.
Okay, other questions for Jeff while he's still up here? Any questions for Jeff? Joe Veenstra.
Thank you. One of the letters that was submitted to us indicated there was some plan or something to perhaps put a building on that other section, and you said the house is going to stay, but that's, we have no control over that ultimately.
They have indicated that the house is going to stay, so we have to take that at face value. What's going to end up happening here, and it, you've got the conditions that were placed on this parcel, and now it's only on this portion right here. This parcel is still going to be subject to the residential use under the commercial district, but if you read the conditions that were placed on this by the county and by the town, this parcel is only used for passenger vehicles parking, and that's just here, not ever in here. The parcel cannot be used for long-term boat storage. It's just going to be cars, and the parcel is to be landscaped to fit the area with adequate drainage. The drainage is all going to be sloped this way to Marina Drive, where there's a sewer drain right on this corner right here. So that's it in a nutshell. If they ever wanted to change this or anything else on this, the reason we're calling it conditional zoning is because they would have to come back in and repetition to put a commercial building on here. Right now the use is residential. It's not commercial. So that's the only activity that they can do on this right now is the parking right here.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Jeff, just clarify, make sure everybody's clear on this, including myself. The whole thing in yellow is not subject to the vote that we're going to take tonight, just that lower strip?
This is the legal description that was offered us.
Okay.
And nothing was amended to say the south 30 feet. So the whole parcel will have conditional zoning on it, but this is the only area, because this is the diagram that was provided during the public hearing, this is the only area that can have the parking.
Because that's the way it was listed in the petition?
No. Because that's the testimony that was provided. Now, if the county board wanted to add another condition on there, you could certainly do that.
Okay. So the
if you guys wanted to restrict it to the south 30 or whatever footage this is, according to the diagram, you know, and not this piece, you guys, okay. You guys got the opportunity to amend.
I want to make sure the board understands what we're voting on. So as the petition reads right now, if it passed, everything in yellow changes.
To commercial B.
To commercial B. But if the... and strictly speaking, they could put parking over the whole thing?
Nope. It's restricted to just this portion because that was the plan that they had submitted.
But the plan they submitted, is that binding upon them? Or if the vote changes all of the zoning...
We're the ones that enforce it, so...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to clarify it, you say that the board could adopt an amendment to say that it's only that...
You could say the southern portion if you wanted to really clarify.
Okay. I think I understand. I don't know if the board does, but I think I know what he's talking about. Further questions for Jeff at all? Margaret Wood?
Thank you. And one of the conditions is then if the Island Girl stays there, or if the Island Girl does not stay there and goes to a different marina space, then at that point it has to come back to continue parking there.
No.
No.
I don't know. Sorry.
Tell me again what you said about conditional something or other, and it would have to come back for our approval. What was that?
Okay. Under the county zoning ordinance, which is your ordinance, there's a whole list of things that you can do in the commercial C district. It's from everything from a motel to bars to bowling alleys to everything that can happen on that. So what the committee has done and what the town of Campbell has done is they put conditional zoning on this with those three conditions that they placed on it, that those are the only three things that can be done in the commercial district out of all that long list of things. So in order to change this and the rest of this to a different use, they can't change this building to a commercial use because that's not being allowed. Okay? It's not wide open to that whole list of things. Skipper Liner or any subsequent owner would have to come back in and repetition the county board to put a commercial type building on there or take it to some other use that's listed on there. And then there's another public hearing. All the neighbors are notified one more time.
Okay.
So it is just parking.
Am I able to reference the letter from Skipper Liner, which adds to my confusion?
Sure. People can reference correspondence you received from anyone. Those people, however, are not able to speak tonight, okay. But people can reference letters you received or calls you got, those types of things.
All right. So... the statement is, in question is a 29 by 150-foot strip of land, which is already an existing Skipper Liner driveway, and that is the piece that is highlighted on my map. So on my map, I have the parking places highlighted, but not the rest of the yellow area where the house is. This is why I'm thinking that the only piece we're really... voting on is just the parking lot.
I have not seen that letter that you have, so I can't comment on that.
Bill?
The matter would be the petition that was presented to the committee, not any letter that subsequently arrived. So the committee had to make a decision based on what was before them. That was the basis for their decision.
Vicki Burke, did I see your hand up?
Yes. Either I have made this very simple in my own mind, and I think it is. The entire parcel in yellow is subject to the zoning. The conditional use permit is subject to just the part that is the parking stalls. That's what Mr. Blusky is saying, that that's the part where they have the conditional use permit allowance for that area. The entire parcel is asking to be a change from residential to commercial, but there is no permission for use of the other part of that lot. That's simply what it is.
Pretty simple. Yeah.
I was just asking, Bill, if you look in the minutes, and I always like reading your committee's minutes because they tell us what happened in real life. The department recommendation, which was approved under number one, is the parcel is only used for a passenger vehicle parking lot. And my question to Bill was, Jeff says, well, the plan that was submitted only showed the lower 30 feet. But the motion doesn't say only the lower 30 feet. And could that, at some subsequent point in the future, be interpreted to mean the entire parcel? And Bill feels that this is not clear, and so that, I guess, it would be my suggestion, so that we are clear what we mean, that somebody make an amendment to this or propose an amendment so that what we're saying and what we're doing are the same thing. People see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to enter into the debate here, but I'm just very concerned that we not do something that at some later point when none of us are around, it's not clear what exactly was done. So anybody interested in making such an amendment?
I so move.
Joe Veenstra, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Okay. The amendment is to apply this to the lower... South 29 feet.
Of the subject zoning parcel.
Okay. Mr. Veenstra, that's what your amendment is?
Yeah, I think the word parcel in all three conditions should be changed to say the south 29 feet of the parcel.
For all three of the conditions?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And seconded by Mr. Brockmiller, that sounds correct to you? Okay. Discussion on that amendment or on the underlying issue? Because they're so merged together, we can talk about all of them from my perspective. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if this amendment passes and Skipper Liner or a future owner of the entire parcel wanted to expand parking north of the 29 feet section of the parcel, they would have to go through the process to repetition for conditional use permit for the remainder, whatever portion of the remainder of the parcel.
Mm-hmm.
If this amendment passes, that would be the effect of this amendment.
So I just want to make it clear too, because I'm going to get calls tomorrow, the northern portion of this is going to remain residential C in everybody's mind.
No, I think my understanding is that we're just saying the conditional use for passenger vehicle parking, not long-term boat storage, and landscaping applies to the southern 29-foot section.
Okay.
And that, as my question inferred, if anybody wants to do something more specific with the remainder of the parcel, they have to come back through the process to get conditional use for the remainder of the parcel. I just want to check with Bill to make sure that's the effect of this amendment.
Let me restate what I think the amendment says so that we're clear that it does say that. If I understand correctly, we are changing, if this passes, the zoning on the entire parcel, but permitting on the south 29 feet those three things. So the zoning is changed on the upper part also, but it would not be permitted on the upper part to do those three things that are subject to those conditions. People understand that, Bill? Does that make sense to you? And Jeff, that makes sense to you? Okay. Everybody understand that? The zoning on everything in the yellow is changed, but part of that yellow can have these three things. The upper part of it cannot, however. Okay? Clear on that? Questions? Comments? I see Marilyn Pedretti.
Then that means the upper parcel that is going to be rezoned to commercial then can be all the other things on that long list of commercial, except the bottom part's only parking. Yeah. That's what you're saying when you do that.
Bill or Jeff, your response to that?
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which was clearly not intended. So let's try this question for Bill or Jeff or whoever wants to weigh in on it. The petition was submitted for the entire parcel. Can the board amend that and approve the change for part of the parcel, or would that need to go back through the process?
The statutes indicate the rules for the county board. If you were going to take something off, entirely off, then it has to end up going back to the committee, and it has to be republished again, and another public hearing, because it's being reduced in size. Now, if you leave it to everything in yellow and indicate that, maybe as condition number four, that everything except the south 29 feet can only be used for residential purposes, that covers everything that everybody wants to do.
Bill, that work for you?
But it's still commercial, because you can have residential you can have residential in the commercial district.
Okay, so it's commercial, and one of the permitted uses in a commercial district is residential.
That's correct.
So you're saying in the north portion of that, you could limit that one use. Is that that's what you're saying?
That's right.
Bill, yeah. That's okay with you?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what seems like the that's what everybody wants.
Limit the north part to residential.
As I understand it, the intent is
limit the north part to a residential use.
It went from the south.
It's not on, Bill.
The south 29 feet to allow for the parking.
So the north part has one use, the south part has three uses. Is that what we're
saying?
Well,
actually, three conditions would be a better way of stating it, because the other two are not uses.
Okay. Mr. Veenstra, can we tweak your amendment to do what Bill just said?
Sure. I would amend my amendment, if I can do that.
I think by unanimous consent, we'll just change it if you state it.
To say that the remainder of the parcel, other than the 29 feet, is limited to residential use.
Bill, that's okay with you? Okay. Any objection from board members on Mr. Rauch?
Can I ask that we just clarify and say single-family residential? Because that's what it is now.
No, it's the use is currently single-family, but it's zoned residential District C, which allows anything beyond from a duplex on up if they wanted to separate it and make it a duplex or a threeplex or something.
So then can we
the
modify
the current residential C use.
Okay, so that, can we modify that? Just say in residential C and add that C after it as it is now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I think that's what Joe said.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard. Yeah.
All right. Clear as mud, everybody? People following what we're trying to accomplish here to clarify what we're going to be voting on? Anything further on the amendment? And then when we're done with that, we'll talk about the overall proposal. All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? Is there no? Bobby Erickson, no. Okay, now discussion on the petition or the proposal as amended. Discussion on that. Any further? Vicki Burke.
I just wanted to speak in favor of the resolution and the change of use. This is in concurrence with the town plan, and I think that the town board and their planning committee and also our planning resources development committee took a lot of time looking at that, and I would recommend approval.
Jeff Schrader.
Well, fortunately, I've probably been involved with this since almost day one. I'm on the zoning commissioner, the commission of the town of Campbell, and this was discussed. And initially, this whole area here is designated on the town plan as commercial, south of that as industrial, and so on. So it does conform with the town plan. Also, you know, I've listened to all the things that Skipper Lehner has done to try to satisfy the people's fears in that area, and I can understand a lot of them. I just got out of a fairly long talk with Joe Schultz, who lives just to the east of there, and mainly they don't want to see the change. They don't want to see anything moving in on them. He did agree that it looks a lot better than it did when Joe Flaver had the property and had all of his things he had out there for his dredging business and whatever. And if you'd gone over there, the things that Skip Liner's done there, it really looks nice. And it's going to be a portion of land that actually will make their situation their work. They've had problems with parking along the road there. They've addressed these problems with the town. That was some of the residents' concerns there, too, that there were people speeding in and out of there. And the town has agreed to post some signs and place some police cars out there and try to curb what's going on there. And also I've listened to what Mr. Poser, who is the spokesman for Skipper Liner, has done to help these people's fears out, and I was pretty impressed by it. They've most of the people that are adjacent neighbors there have embraced what he's told them, and I guess I see no reason that this small portion of land that Skipper Liner owns, as you know, this is their corporate headquarters, and they're definitely not going to have anything over there that will have any bad influence on the look of their building there. That's a beautiful building, very quiet for an industrial site. So I would highly recommend that everyone involved here would approve this zoning. And also I might add, and Mr. Blesky referred to this, that if they, because Skipper Liner owns that, and they could put something much worse in there than what they're proposing. So with that, I'll just say thank you.
Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This, I didn't know it was going to be such a complicated system tonight. I thought it was kind of a simple one, but now I hope it's clarified. I voted against this last month when the other two parcels on the other side of Bainbridge were added. They are now subtracted. It does comply with the comprehensive plan from that area, and that was my concern the first time, and that's why I voted against it the first time. Now it complies with the comprehensive plan from the township, and I hope you all vote to approve it.
Arlene Benrood.
Thank you. I received the letter, and it answered all my questions because I wasn't involved till just last month, and that is the biggest employer on French Island. And with the economy and loss of jobs, we should feel very fortunate that they want to invest and keep their company here in La Crosse. And that's the reason that I will be voting to support it. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Did I get everybody? Any further discussion? Vote on the computer then. Mr.
Logged out.
Marion, I'll get you back in. If you are in favor of the proposal as amended, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. Else okay?
Right.
No, not yet, but just want to make sure nobody else is logged
Mr.
out.
Mr. Chair, can we go to a voice vote?
No. Sorry. All right, here we go. Now it's up. Yes, if you are in favor of the proposal as amended. No, if you
it's
are
okay
opposed.
With me at the beginning anyway. I don't think we need it.
The proposal passed on a unanimous but apparently secret vote because it is not displaying on our screen there. However, it appears that it, looking at it, it looks like it's a unanimous vote. So that passes. Next item, Mr. Meyer.
Item 14-6, petition 1782, filed by Todd and Shelley Miller to rezone exclusive agriculture district to Agriculture District A in the town of Burns. Let's see if there's any conditions on that. Yes. The conditions are called on your blue sheet. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report subject to the conditions. Is there a second? Second by Bob Kyle. Discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 15-6, conditional use permit 775, filed by Philip E. Quackenbush to operate contractor storage yard in connection with a part-time landscaping business in the town of Campbell. There, the conditions are all called out on your blue sheet. So I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to the conditions listed. Second by Mr. Monti. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 16-6, a conditional use permit 776, filed by Tom Betha, agent for U.S. Cellular, on behalf of Daryl and R. and Carla Olke to construct a 90-foot multiple telecommunication tower for U.S. Cellular in the town of Shelby. And there are no conditions on that one, so I move for your approval. Oh, yeah, there are a few. 14.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to 14 conditions. Is there a second? Second by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion on this one? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 17-6, conditional use permit 777, filed by Larry and Carl Marshall to sell gun parts, performing in gunsmithing, and to buy and sell firearms at their residence in the town of Bangor. Now we'll check here. There. No. 17, there's conditions on that one on your sheet, seven of them that were approved by the committee. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to the conditions listed. Second by Mr. Monti. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 18-6, conditional use permit 778, filed by Stacy Burns on behalf of George and Margaret Barr to use a portion of an existing agriculture building for a wrestling clubhouse for meetings and wrestling practices on an adjacent parking lot for 45 vehicles in the town of Greenfield. Yes, there's eight conditions called out on the blue sheet. I move for your approval.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to certain conditions. Seconded by Bob Kyle. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 19-6, conditional use permit 779, filed by Andre and Katie Johnson to run a home-based taxidermic business in their residence in town of Onalaska. what do we have here? Oh, yeah. Okay, there's nine conditions called out on that one.
Mr. Meyer moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to nine conditions. Is there a second? Second by Vicki Burke. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, we have item 20-6, first reading of ordinance number 65, an ordinance to amend SS 16.071 and 1, and the General Code of La Crosse County entitled Floodplain Ordinance, Floodplain Zoning. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that the rules be suspended and we act on this tonight, because really all this is a change, some changes that Jeff's department had to make to bring this up to date.
Are you saying those are like clerical type of changes?
Well, clerical or changes that the FEMA brought in and said, hey, we have to change this number, not actually change any land, but just changing, correcting numbers that are on here.
Okay.
You know, more detail, Jeff could speak to that, too.
Mr. Meyer moves for suspension of the rules to allow the board to consider the second reading tonight. Is there a second for suspension of the rules? Second by Andrea Richmond. Discussion on suspension of the rules. Jeff Schrader.
By suspending the rules here, I might ask this question of Jeff. Have all of these maps been certified and clarified and whatever has to be done for them?
Did you hear the question, Jeff?
In March when the county board approved the maps and this resolution going forward, you guys suspended the rules because these had to go in, the new maps had to go into effect April 2nd. After we sent a copy of your past ordinance to FEMA, FEMA found out that we were missing some prefix and suffix numbers to the map. There's nothing changing on the map except numbers that include the county and the state code and a C at the end of the map number, which indicates it's a county map and not any other village or city map. So that's the only change on this, and it is clerical.
You have the floor still, Mr. Schrader.
So then does that mean that the elevations and everything that are on those maps haven't been certified?
Well, they've all been certified, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So everything that was approved by the county board in March still stands. The maps, the elevations, the insurance study, everything that was a part of that still stands. That's correct.
And the only reason I brought this up is because in the flood of 2001, there were areas that weren't supposed to flood, and they did. The maps were.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we requested the new mapping.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I need to ask people over in the side seats, Mr. Gores. Need to keep quiet. Thank you. I saw Mr. Ebert's hand up.
Mr. Bleski, what damage comes if we go under the normal rules and it waits another month?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So yeah, I just am concerned we always do this, and if there's not any damage, I don't see any reason to change it. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
The motion before the board is to suspend the rules to vote on it tonight. Further discussion on suspension of the rules? All in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The noes, please raise your hand, are Ray Ebert, Tom Rauch, Bobby Erickson, Ralph Geary, Brad Paff. Anybody else? Okay. The motion to suspend the rules passes, I believe. Is that two-thirds? Okay, so that is two-thirds. Mr. Meyer?
I'll make a motion to approve the ordinance change tonight, 20-6.
Moved by Mr. Meyer to approve the proposed ordinance. Is there a second? Seconded by Andrea Richmond. Discussion on the proposed ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Exciting committee you have there, Mr. Meyer. Let's see. This month you talked about wrestling, guns, and stuffed dead animals. Anybody interested in a little excitement? They meet the first Monday of each month, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun, too.
All right. That it for you, Mr. Meyer? Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 21-6 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding adoption of the Security Benefit Group Health Care Reimbursement Account, known as HRA, for Deputy Sheriff's Association. Whereas the Security Benefit Group Health Care Reimbursement Account has been established for eligible public employees pursuant to Section 501, Parent C, Parent 9 of the Internal Revenue Code permitting such plans, and whereas the county wishes to make contributions on behalf of its employees to the Security Benefit Group HRA to meet its employees' post-employment health care needs, and whereas under this program, Security Financial Resources, Inc. will provide administrative services in exchange for fees charged to participant accounts with no fees incurred or required from the county. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County hereby adopts the Security Benefit Group HRA program on behalf of the eligible employees of La Crosse County. Fiscal note is there are no fees billed to the county for this program, but the county will save 7.65% in Social Security, 19.8% Wisconsin Retirement System contribution for deputies, and reduced overtime expense due to the funding of this post-retirement plan rather than the funding of wages for employees of the Deputy Sheriff's Association. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson, seconded by Vicki Burke. Discussion? Leon Paff.
Why didn't we do this before?
Bob, why don't you come on up?
Well, there was no such program.
Bob Taunt, our personnel director, will respond to that question.
This is a follow-up to something that had been done with the deputy sheriffs before. We had a post-employment health plan, a PEHP, with nationwide insurance, and it was deducted out of the employees' paychecks. The IRS changed the rules, said you can't do that anymore, so we stopped the deduction. The deputies subsequently negotiated they would take a reduction in wages if the county would fund this, matching. And so that's what we're doing. I think it was last month you approved the deputy sheriff's settlement. This and the next resolution are both to set up the new savings plan. The post-employment health plan is a good idea. For the rest of the county employees, we're pursuing some different options, though. This was offered years ago, and the only ones that wanted it were the deputy sheriffs. So we're just trying to fix what was broken before when the IRS changed the regulations.
Further discussions or questions? Mr. Schrader.
Any idea what the dollar amount is that this is going to save the county?
Not really. It depends on what goes in here and how many employees are contributing to it.
So they have the option of not going into this?
No, but it's dependent on how many employees we have employed.
Okay.
And so if they're off or we're replacing them, that'll change the dollar figure. It's best evaluated from the percentages you can see. We're going to be saving 7.65 on the Social Security and almost 20% on the WRS.
Further questions or comments? Mr. Geary.
Thank you. That percentage is, if they contribute a dollar, then we save 7 cents on something and 19 cents on something else, right?
Correct.
It isn't like we're saving 19%. It's
we're not
the percentage
it
of
in.
The dollar.
Correct.
Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Oh, Bobby Erickson was a no. Sorry.
Item 22-6 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of Security Benefit 457 Deferred Compensation Plan. Whereas it is necessary and desirable to adopt plan documents to make the benefits of the Security Benefit Company 457 Deferred Compensation Plan available to eligible La Crosse County employees pursuant to the collective bargaining agreement with the WPPA Deputy Sheriff's Association, now therefore be it resolved that the form of plan document
for the Security Benefit 457 Deferred Compensation Plan attached is hereby approved and adopted by the County Board for the benefit of employees of La Crosse County. Be it further resolved that pursuant to the plan, the County Board establishes funding accounts with Security Benefit Company for receipt of the investment contributions made under the plan as directed by participating employees. The fiscal note is that there are no fees billed to the county for this program, but the county will save 7.65% Social Security contribution for deputies and reduced overtime expenses due to the funding of this deferred compensation plan rather than the funding of wages for employees of the Deputy Sheriff's Association. I move its approval.
Moved by Chair Johnson, second by Margaret Wood. Discussion or questions? Ray Ebert.
Yes, sir. This only applies to the Deputy Sheriff's Association?
Bob will answer that one.
This is technically, this is where the money goes into. The first one we're taking it out, it goes into here. This is technically available to other employees, but we have no agreement with any other employees to use this deferred comp since we have two other plans.
Okay, will this affect department heads and that? Remember we had a thing a while ago about deferred comp that was supposedly in a administrative bill that, you know, included vacation time and all that. Would this, could department heads
no.
utilize this if we pass this?
No, this is not going to be used for anybody except the deputy sheriff's folks.
The question was, could it be, not will it be?
Well, it could be, yes. If the board designates this to be available to other employees, it will be sitting there.
Let me rephrase Mr. Ebert's questions. I think what he's asking is,
sir,
without further action of the board, could it be used by department heads? Okay, does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay, sure. Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
One no, Mr. Ebert. Two no's, Mr. Erickson. All right.
Item 23-6 is the first reading of an ordinance to amend Section 2.02, Parent 7, Parent A, and B of Chapter 2 of the General Code of La Crosse County regarding resolutions. This is the first reading of an ordinance to revise the procedures to be followed in drafting resolutions. It adds an additional person to the list of those authorized to draft resolutions, and it amends the ordinance so that Corporation Counsel would review all resolutions in addition to the county administrator and auditor or finance director. And prior to the introduction of a resolution to the county board, the three officials would initial on the resolution either recommended, not recommended, or reviewed only. I ask that it be entered in for its first reading, and we will vote on it at our next meeting.
So be held over for 30 days. Any questions people have in the meantime? Mr. Schrader?
Thank you. There was just one area that there's going to be three people that are able to draft the resolutions. It'll be, no?
This is reviewing of them. Three people.
Okay, I guess, okay, that's fine. It'll be yourself, Bill Shepard, and...
No, Bill,
yeah,
Jerry, and Steve O'Malley.
Okay.
I mean Gary, not Jerry. Sorry, wrong guy.
Okay, gotcha.
Finance director, administrator, and corp counsel.
And then will Bill be given an opinion on the resolution?
Bill, why don't you... respond to why we're doing it, having you look at all of them.
I think that there was some concern raised a while ago that I had no place to indicate my approval or disapproval of a resolution, so that if I felt that there was a legal issue involved, that there was nothing on the resolution that indicated that. So what we did was the two things: to add my initials to the resolution and change approval, disapproval to recommended, not recommended, or reviewed only. And there will be certain issues that we, the three of us, will just indicate reviewed only, which means that we looked at it, but it's really a policy issue. You know, we don't have any either financial, legal, or administrative concerns about it.
So only if there's something legal involved, we even making a recommendation.
Generally, that's true.
Other questions? Mr. Rauch?
Just to add my own words to that, the real point we were working here in this last iteration was to take them away from saying approved or disapproved, that's this body's function, but merely to put them on record, if it were in their subject matter area, of recommending or not recommending. This body is the one that approves and disapproves.
Good clarification. Other questions? Okay, that'll be held over for 30 days. Next item.
And this is a second reading of an ordinance, item 24-6, to amend subsection 1.42, paren 4, and 1.49, paren 4, of the General Code of La Crosse County regarding Historic Sites Preservation Commission. And this ordinance deletes the commission from the responsibility of the executive committee under section 1.42, paren 4, and adds the commission to the list of special committees, boards, and commissions in section 1.49, paren 4. And as a result, the Planning Resources and Development Committee will act as a liaison to the county board for the commission on Historic Sites Preservation instead of the Executive Committee. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, second by Tom Rauch. Any discussion or questions on this item? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson?
Yes, thank you.
According to our agenda, we're scheduled to recess at this point, but we may not need that. Is there anything of the last four items that has anybody all excited that we're going to be debating for a long time? Okay, there is one item that we're going to be talking about. People want to take a recess for 5 minutes or plow through? Keep going. We'll skip the recess. There is cheese out there. Does that change anybody's mind? Okay. By the way, you'll note that sadly we did not get any PowerPoints or anything like that tonight because we have Jerry Huber instead of Mr. O'Malley, whose daughter is in the championship for soccer. So he went up there, and then tomorrow he's heading off to a trip for us to Kalamazoo, Michigan. So thank you for being here and not giving us any PowerPoints, Jerry. Health and Human Services Board, Jill Billings.
Thank you, Chairman Doyle. I have item 25-6. Resolution to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisor regarding creation of the Aging and Disability Resource Center and Advisory Committee, whereas a regional partnership of La Crosse, Jackson, Vernon, and Monroe counties have agreed to form the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Western Wisconsin, ADRC-WW, effective July 1st, 2008, and whereas La Crosse County Human Services Department will be the lead county in this regional partnership, and whereas statutory responsibility to establish and maintain a regional committee to provide specific functions related to the policies, oversight, and operation of an ADRC are provided under Section 46.283, paren 6, now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors establish the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Western Wisconsin as advisory to the La Crosse County Health and Human Services Board. Further, be it resolved that the membership be representative of each of the four ADRC-WW partner counties and be determined by the leadership from each of these counties with representation to include the following. Number one, four county representatives, including one from each of the county's human services or county aging unit boards that are part of this regional entity. Number two, four consumers or consumer advocate members representing those who are elderly. One member representative shall be from each of the counties that comprise the ADRC-WW. Three, one consumer or consumer advocate member representing those with physical disabilities in this region. Number four, one consumer or consumer advocate member representing those who are developmentally disabled in this region. Number five, one consumer or consumer advocate member representing those with mental health needs in this region. Fiscal note, costs are minimal as this committee will meet only up to six times per year. Each of the partner counties will be responsible for pay for any travel-related expenses for their county representatives. Many times, committee members can ride with staff from each of the partner counties who will also be attending these meetings. I move for its approval, and I ask to retain the floor.
Moved by Jill Billings, second by Margaret Wood. Jill Billings.
This is, as we go down the line of forming our consortium now known as Western Wisconsin Cares, this is part of our plan, and I'd like to thank Margaret Wood for representing us on this board.
Further discussion, Tara Johnson.
I have a question in the now therefore be it resolved clause that I'm wondering if in the second line the words advisory committee should actually be added after Western Wisconsin. You're forming the advisory committee, right, not the ADRC itself?
Jerry Huber, got any comment on that?
I think that's true.
I believe that's correct, Tara.
Yeah.
By unanimous consent, can we add that? Any objection to that? Okay, that'll be added by unanimous consent. Thank you, Tara Johnson, unless you wanted to make that as a motion. Okay. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Oh, one no. Bobby Erickson. Is that it for you, Ms. Billings?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Public Works and Infrastructure, Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 26-6, approved unanimously by Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, sale of county riparian property adjacent to Webster Parcel in the Lakewood Road area. Whereas La Crosse County Board previously authorized the sale of county riparian property budding Lake Neshonnik in the vicinity of the area known as Lake Road. Whereas George Webster is the owner of the property east of the county riparian land sold to the adjacent property owners in Lakewood Road area and has offered to purchase a county riparian property adjacent to this tax parcel. Whereas the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee recommends that the county riparian property be surveyed and appraised by the outside consultants and that the property be offered for sale for George Webster at the fair market value to be determined by the appraiser, and the actual cost for the survey, appraisal, and title insurance, along with other costs associated with the sale that are customary responsibility of the purchaser, shall be paid by Mr. Webster. Whereas the committee further recommends that Mr. Webster be required to prepay the estimated cost of surveying, appraising, and obtaining title insurance for the property in an amount of $2,500, and that this amount shall be non-refundable if he fails to close the transaction. Now, therefore, be resolved that Lake La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the sale of county riparian property in the Lake Road area of Lake Neshonnik, adjacent to property owned by George Webster, at its fair market value determined by the appraisal plus the actual costs, surveying, appraising, title insurance, and other costs that are customary responsibility of the purchaser. Be it further resolved that a surveyor and appraiser that has previously been hired by La Crosse County is outside consultants for Lake Neshonnik project shall be retained to survey and appraise the county riparian property adjacent to the Webster parcel, provided that George Webster prepays the amount of $2,500 that shall be applied to the actual cost of such services provided by the outside consultants. But that amount shall not be refundable if Mr. Webster fails to complete the purchase of the property. Be further resolved that La Crosse, the county board chair, county clerk, are authorized to sign the warranty deed complete the sale of such parcel after approval by a corporation council. Be it further resolved that county staff are authorized to do all the things necessary to carry out the intent of this resolution, including the hiring of consultants to survey and appraise the property to be sold. Fiscal note, the amount of $2,500 required as prepayment toward the cost is broken down as follows. Surveying, $800, appraising, $1,500, title insurance, $200. The fair market value of the parcel to be sold is undetermined at this time. The net proceeds will be directed towards conservation practice, public improvements on or around Lake Neshonnik to be approved by the county board before expenditure of the funds. I move to approve, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak to it.
Move by Mr. Spiker, second by Arlene Benrood. Mr. Spiker, you have the floor.
We talked to Mr. Webster. He was president at our committee, and he agreed to the resolution that everything was in it. So we have his agreement on it.
Further discussion?
Now, he has the right to change mine, but I wanted him to understand that he had a possibility of losing the $2,500.
And he understands that?
That's what he said.
Okay. Mr. Ebert.
Just for curiosity, why wasn't this included in the original surveys that we did?
Who's got the answer to that, Bill?
There was, in that Lake Road area, There were some parcels that we had previously surveyed and then that were county-owned land. Then there were several parcels where the lake frontage was not owned by the county, and this parcel then is further east of that, so there was a break, and we just assumed that, you know, we were trying to define certain areas, and this was not included in that original thing because of the break in the county didn't own that intervening property.
Thank you much.
Bobby Erickson.
I was just looking at where it says, be it further resolved that the county staff are authorized to do all things necessary to carry out the intent, et cetera. Would there be other costs possible besides the $2,500 that's set aside for surveying, appraising, and title insurance? It says all things necessary.
Yes, the appraised fair market value will be added to the cost, and you know we don't know what that is. The appraiser that has done the other properties for us will be hired to do this as well. So
Bill, I think actually his question is, would there be other costs to the county?
Mm-hmm. Yes, about $25. We have the title company, that does the closing for us. They charge us about $25 for that service, so we do pay that.
Okay. I guess that's it.
Other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 27-6, unanimously approved by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. Authorization to sell property at 1603 9th Street South to the City of La Crosse. Whereas La Crosse County has acquired title to tax delinquent property located at 1603 9th Street South, La Crosse, Wisconsin, consisting of a house located in a lot that is 52 by 150 feet. And whereas the county is authorized to sell its tax deeded lands in such manner and upon such terms as the county board may be by resolution determined, and the county may transfer such land to any municipality within the county pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 70-35 sub 2 and 59-52 sub 6. Whereas the total amount of unpaid general property tax and other expenses assessed to the real estate for the years 2001 to 2007 is $26,585.42, broken down as follows. Unpaid property tax, $14,339.65. Special assessments, $3,459.55. Interest, $5,857.36. Penalty, $2,928.86. Whereas the 2008 property taxes, including special assessments of $357, are estimated to be $3,000, and the facilities department incurred $1,200 in cost to maintain the property. Whereas the committee recommends selling the property to the City of La Crosse for $22,000, which will be reimbursed the county for the maintenance fees, taxes through 2008, and 2008 special assessments up to $357, but does not include the penalty and interest levied against the delinquent tax, and such sale would be in the best interest of the taxpayers of La Crosse County. And therefore, it be resolved, La Crosse County Board authorize the sale of 1603 9th Street South, La Crosse, Wisconsin, to the City of La Crosse for the amount of $22,000. Be it further resolved that additional in the sale price, the city shall pay to the county the amount of any special assessment placed on the property in 2008 that exceed the amount of $357. Be it further resolved that La Crosse County Board Chair, County Clerk, are authorized to sign a warranty deed conveying the property known as 1603 9th Street South, La Crosse, Wisconsin, by its legal description and any other documents necessary to sell the property to the City of La Crosse upon approval by the Corporation Council. Be further resolved that an amount of $1,200 for the net sale proceeds shall be paid to the Facilities Department, and the balance will be applied to the payment of back taxes on the property. Fiscal note, the total amount of unpaid general property tax and special assessment previously paid by the county to the taxing jurisdiction for this property was $17,799.20. 2008 taxes will also be paid to the City of La Crosse and the County Treasurer. The sale price of $22,000 was determined as follows: 2001 to 2007 on paid property taxes, $14,339.65. 2001 to 2007 special assessments, $3,459.55. 2008 property taxes, including special assessments, $357. $3,000 utility department costs is $1,200. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, seconded by Bill Brockmiller. Discussion questions on this one, Mr. Ebert.
Yes. My first question is, when did we take possession of this property?
Bill, do you know the answer to that?
It was sometime after January 1st, 2008.
And what is the current assessed value?
The assessed value is much higher than the value of the property. This is a property that's very much deteriorated. Jim Spropolis he's been in and seen it. I haven't personally seen it, but Jim has inspected it. He can tell you. I think it's the city's intent to knock the house down and do a redevelopment. So it hasn't been reassessed, but the assessed value is much higher than its actual worth.
Okay. I can actually help you. The assessed value is $87,600. The fair market value is $96,900.
It's not worth that.
Well, then maybe the assessor of the city should be questioned. But it seems to me we always talk about this fair market value. When we sold property to the Village of West Salem, we got fair market value. It seems to me that this is a sweetheart deal for the city. Would you agree that that is an asset of the county?
Well, you know, I think it's part of the rehabilitation of certain areas in the city that when we take these properties for delinquent taxes, there's usually a reason that the properties aren't worth the amount of the taxes. And I certainly Mr. Menninger can be more expansive on the kinds of rehabilitation projects that the city does. But in brief comments that Mr. Kirch made indicated that they work with WWTC, Habitat for Humanity, and use their various community development block grant funds to rehabilitate property, and I think that's what the intent is to do here.
But isn't it true that we're selling an asset probably at less than fair market value?
It's possible that it is, but we're selling it to the city for a public benefit, and that is to rehabilitate a blighted property. So, I mean, certainly that's a decision that you have to make as a policy matter. But this isn't a sale to a private owner. This is a sale to a public entity that intends to make the property more attractive and more livable, frankly.
Could that not be said also then when we sold land to the Village of West Salem to put up a water tower that's going to service our business park?
I guess that's your policy decision that you've made in this.
Well, I find it a little interesting that we're doing a sweetheart deal here, and I would like to refer this for 30 days. And I think that we should look at how we're doing all this. I find it, one of our things is the sale would be in the best interest of the taxpayers of La Crosse County. I think that may be true for the city taxpayers, but I'm not convinced it's true of the La Crosse County taxpayers. And I think that if, as a county board, we had better step up and decide what we're going to be doing with this. And if we're going to sell to the city at a reduced rate, we should sell to other communities at the reduced rate. And I guess I find it a little offensive that we're doing this. So I move that we refer for 30 days and have staff come back with a little better information.
Mr. Ebert moves to hold over for 30 days. Is there a second? Seconded by Bobby Erickson. That is debatable. I'm going to allow people to discuss the motion to refer and the underlying issue. And the moment La Crosse was mentioned, I saw John Menninger's hand shoot up, so he's first.
Well, I walk by this house about three times a week, and it is a total frickin' dump. And it has been condemned by the city for a long time. It's in a neighborhood that's stressed. The sooner it's tore down and demolished and a decent house is built there, the better that neighborhood would be. I don't care if you refer it for 30 days. That's fine. And then maybe people who want to continue to be concerned about sweetheart deals, which is an inflammatory word, Mr. Ebert, ought to go over there and take a look at this neighborhood and take a look at this house. Go ahead, refer it for 30 days and then walk through the house and then see if you don't want to help fix that neighborhood or you just want to talk about sweetheart deals. It's really unfortunate.
Mr. Bina.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what I can be talking about now based on your latest, because, you know, I had some questions about this originally, but they may have been mooted now. But on the one hand, it is a heck of a good deal, but on the other hand, if we look at the marina on the other side of the river, we lost $1 million or $2 million on that. We took it, but you can rule me out of order, but why did we wait from 2001 to 2007 by making this an issue? Because our policy says if you don't pay your taxes within 3 years, it's up for foreclosure. In this case, we got at least 6 years. What was the problem with waiting from 2001 to 2007 before this became an issue? This should have been resolved 3 years ago.
Bill,
the way
I
see it.
Well, Dave Lang in my office works with Donna Hansen and Jim to take care of these. There was a gentleman that was living in there, and I think that we tried to do everything that we could to have him satisfy the back taxes. It certainly isn't our intent to put somebody out of their home, but it became evident to, you know, maybe we gave him more time than we should have, but we tried to be as helpful as we could. It didn't work out, so we finally took the property.
Was this the owner of the house then?
Yes.
That was in there?
Yes.
It wasn't a renter or something?
No.
Well, the other problem is that this is the TIF district. The TIF district, you know, the city is going to do a lot of improvements, and we're probably not going to get any new tax dollars out of there for about 27 years. So we're not going to be on the tax list for this house for that long. And I agree with Mr. Ebert totally. On the one hand, we do make a deal with the city, but on the other hand, we got a few people out living in the Lake District area that we're charging $144,000 an acre for property that the county says they own. So we need to be a little more consistent with what we're doing as a county. Otherwise, you're starting to get resentment building in different places, and as soon as you get enough resentment, you might be looking at a civil war around here.
Bill?
I'm not trying to respond to Mr. Bina's comments, but one comment and follow-up of what Mr. Menninger says. If the city does follow through with the condemnation and tears the house down, I guess I point you to 4th and Jackson, where those two buildings were torn down, put on the tax rolls. The county ended up having to pay that, and we still own the property with that cost. And this resolution limits the special assessments, including any cost of raising the properties, to the $357. So, but the city, if you do nothing on this, the city could tear that down, put it on the tax rolls, and the county will end up paying that cost in the settlement for the 2008 taxes. So just so that you're aware that could happen.
Well, do we own the land? Because we took possession. We should own the land.
Sure, we own the property, but the city could condemn it and raise the building and put it back on the property as a special assessment.
Okay. Audrey Catter.
Thank you. That was part of what I was going to address. But first of all, the establishment of a fair market value, I would be curious to know where that was established. But fair market value is a property needs to be visually inspected at the time and in the condition it is. And that particular property has deteriorated significantly since that was entered in the assessment rolls. So I think that's a little bit of a surmise there. They, fair market values change on a day-to-day basis. And then in relation to the TIF situation, the underlying taxes remain on the tax roll. The increment is all that is, goes into the TIF. So the city is not ripping off the county in relation to taxes for 27 years. And it's just unfortunate that this type of comment is happening, because there are so many things that complicate these issues. And as Mr. Shepherd said, we have this situation where it can cost the county a lot more if this deal is not consummated. I mean, the cost of demolishing the building alone is something that the county is being saved. So I just would hope that we can focus more on objective items. Thank you.
Arlene Benrood.
Thank you. I'd like to hear from Mr. Spiropoulos on that, please.
Can't hide now, Jim.
Over the past probably 3 or 4 years, we've been trying to work with municipalities on properties that we've taken in from tax delinquency. As you know, we've worked with the town of Burns for a strip along their, one of their town roads. They paid us the back taxes of like $17. If the same deal came through for any other municipality that we took a house and a lot in, I would believe we would recommend the same thing for that municipality. If they wanted to redevelop it, we would recommend selling it to them for what we have in it. So this happens to be in the city of La Crosse. Taking a house back doesn't happen very often. I think this is the first time that it's happened since I've been here. So usually they're a strip of land or a lot, not typically a house. So.
Bill Brackmiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to speak a little because this property is in the 13th, which I represent, and it, as Supervisor Mettinger and Supervisor Cotter pointed out, it's a blight and it's an eyesore. It's only two blocks from my residence, and the wife and I pass it every night when we do, or every other night, as often as she can get me out to walk.
True confessions here tonight? Is that
yeah,
what we got
that
going
on? Yeah,
that
was that part. And it needs to go. I think it will be, from the discussion here, I think it will be actually returned to at least a partial tax roll sooner if we sell it, if it's redeveloped. It's, and some of the people who have had more inflammatory comments tonight don't have to live with it in their backyard, so I wouldn't, you know, it looks like a horror house, so it needs to go, and we need to sell it to someone, in this case the city, who's going to deal with it properly. Thank you.
I believe you said horror house, right?
Horror.
I wanted to make
haunted,
I saw
house.
Some eyebrows go up. I just wanted
haunted house.
Haunted
sir.
House. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I strongly oppose the referral for 30 days, and I support this resolution. I support it for one big reason. This board, several years ago, talked about collaboration with the municipalities, and that's the first step, and that's what, as chair of the committee, and the committee was following a previous policy of the county board. Now, if you want to change that policy, that's up to you. But the committee was following what the county board had talked about for years, and we finally accomplished it. I'm go back a long ways on this county board, and I can remember when it was rural against city. You didn't cross the line. And it's really under the leadership of the chair and some of the previous chairs. That has not really been a question anymore. And I strongly support, I hope we don't refer this back. Because I don't know what else we would do in the committee other than put it out for bids, possibly get a high bid maybe or something from a nonprofit, and wouldn't be on the tax roll. So I'm just following the direction the committee is of the previous county boards. If you want to change that, then say change it. Thank you.
Ralph Geary.
Thank you. Bill, at the meeting, didn't you tell us when, in general, when we deal with foreclosed property, that when we deal with municipalities, we can handle it differently than with private individuals? If a private individual came to us and wanted a piece of property and had a deal, you'd probably say get it appraised and get it bid out. But with municipalities, do you say we can handle those differently?
Right. The statutes do provide. I mean, again, you're dealing with public entities for a public benefit. That's a lot different than for a private benefit. So, yes, you're right, Mr. Gary.
Tom Rauch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to follow up on what Supervisor Spiker was talking about in cooperation with the cities. In a recent Economic Development Committee meeting, we got an extensive briefing and paper presentation from the City of La Crosse's planning folks describing a very large number of properties that they had acquired and through their process done a very meaningful redevelopment, either rehabilitation of a declining building or more often taking it completely down, starting from scratch and building a very nice piece of property. In fact, they're selling those properties in many cases. I don't want to hold them to every case, but in many cases they're selling those properties with the plan saying you get the property, this is the building we want you to put it on it, and they're very impressive buildings. They're making great strides in improving the city, and I'll support that we do the motion.
Don Meyer.
I think Mr. Menninger and Chuck Spiker summed it up well, and I call for the question on the amendment.
We have one more person, Vicki Burke, who hasn't had a chance. You were going to do the same thing?
I'll second it.
Anybody else who has not had a chance to speak yet, I want to give everybody a chance for the first go-around. Mr. Erickson.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that either way, if it's going to be more or less than the $22,000 that it's been supposedly going to be sold at, I'd just like to see it put on the market, and then we will find out what the fair market value is, and maybe someone else can come in and do an even better job than the city would do, or if the city decides it wants to be the highest bidder, then we'll just end up getting more from the city, and they can still do the same job they want to do. Or if someone else comes in, then we'll get paid for the property as well, and hopefully they'll be able to renovate it or tear it down and build something just as well. So I'd like to see it not necessarily sold to the city unless they're the highest bidder.
The motion is to hold over for 30 days. All in favor of referral for 30 days, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The ayes, please raise your hand for holding over for 30 days are Mr. Ebert, Mr. Montai, Mr. Bina, Mr. Erickson, Ms. Flood. Anybody else? Okay, that fails. We are now going to take a vote on the underlying resolution itself, unless there's any further discussion. Seeing none, let's just do this one on the computer. If you are in favor of the resolution, vote aye. If you are opposed, vote no. The resolution has passed on a vote of 26-5. Ms. Johnson, got one more?
No, Chuck.
Oh, sorry. We're not on executive anymore. We're in public works. I confuse those two all the time.
28-6, approval of the bid for final cover and gas system construction at the La Crosse County landfill. Whereas there is a need for construction of final cover and gas system for the La Crosse County landfill, and whereas La Crosse County requested bids for construction of the final cover and gas systems, and whereas sealed bids were received and publicly opened on May 20, 2008, whereas the said bids have been reviewed for qualification of the bidders and the cost by the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee, whereas the construction project was included in the 2008 budget but will be funded from the solid waste undesignated fund balance rather than by the sale of bonds. Now, therefore, be resolved that La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the bid of grading evacuation for Project 2008 final cover and gas system construction at the cost of $1,426,614.28. Be it further resolved, the County Board is hereby authorized to execute an agreement to accomplish and work after the approval by Corporation Council Finance Department and authorized to transfer funds from the solid waste undesignated fund balance to pay for the project. Funds for the project shall come from the solid waste undesignated fund balance. It currently has a balance of approximately $9.8 million. I move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Spiker, second by Leon Paff. Any discussion or questions on this one? Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just point of information, if Mr. Tippett or someone else could let us know the headquarters location of the bidders.
For those who are new to the board, Brian Tippett is our solid waste manager.
I don't know where all the bidders are from, but the low bidder Integrity is from Rothschild, Wisconsin, by Wausau. I'm personally not familiar with the company. Our consultant is and said they've had good experience with them. Also, I had a meeting recently with a major local contractor who vouched for them being a good company. We did go through pre-qualifications, and we didn't see any reason why not to work with them.
Can you identify from the list of five on our sheet which are local, other than, I know St. Joseph's, but are any others in La Crosse County?
The last one, counties? Which is looks like Veet, but it's pronounced Vite, is out of Rochester. Hoffman, I believe, is Black River Falls. Fratelloni, I think it's Wisconsin, but I'm not sure. They have an association with Terra, which is out of Dane County, I believe, but I don't know where this company's from.
Thank you.
I can find out if you still want to know, but not tonight, I don't believe.
Further discussion? All in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no? No is who? Oh, Mr. Erickson. All right. Mr. Spiker, is that it for you? Thank you. Items for future agenda. Anybody who would like to pay for your ticket for the picnic, Arlene Benrud would be happy to take your money tonight.
I have some money, so keep it coming.
Arlene says keep it coming. If you do not have the money tonight, a couple options. Obviously, you can always stop up at the chair's office. You could bring money to your next committee meeting, since Cheryl is at all of those, so you could just give it to her, or bring it to policy planning at our July meeting. But it would help us for cash flow purposes so that the county board chair does not have to dip into his pocket if people will prepay rather than the day of. Mr. Ebert.
Yes, sir. Last month I'd asked for a report on the ambulance. And
you did.
Yes, I did.
No, it just struck me. You did. It's not on the agenda. Trying to think how I can best describe it. We have had meetings with each of the entities recently, and we're waiting to hear back from one of them. I know I've said this before, but I think that we're going to be having an announcement fairly soon.
Could we get one, a real one, next month?
Yeah.
And also, Mary, someone else had asked on the Holiday Inn property. Someone, after I'd asked that, asked for the one on the Holiday Inn, or whatever you're calling it.
Park Plaza.
And I think, you know, those are something that's of pretty good interest to everyone, and I think it's appropriate that when we request that we get those.
Purely oversight. Sorry about that. Marion's going to write it down, so this time it will happen. Jeff Schrader.
I just wanted, at the start of the meeting, I should have said something, but for the policy planning meeting, I was noted as absent. And I believe that Cheryl knew that I was going to be in Wisconsin Dells at the conference.
Right. And not only did Cheryl know, but I knew too. You should have been listed as excused.
Thank you.
So, what's that? Oh, well, yeah, we need to tell Marion, but we try to keep her in the dark. Other comments people have? Announcements, items for future agendas? Vicki Burke?
Just an announcement, Mr. Chair. Bryce Prairie is having its annual canoe race and bike race on Saturday the 28th, and people are welcome to participate in that. And there is a early morning canoe ride out, a sunset canoe ride, so if they're interested in that, that would be very interesting too.
But you don't have the fabulous bologna skins, right? Jerry Sobranek.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn by Jerry Sobranek, second by Bob Kyle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Have a pleasant evening.
Sign